This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have this on the line right now. Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, although I must say, Stan, it's been a very, very difficult week. Just the volume of information coming in on this torture scandal has been incredibly difficult to sort through, and it makes for a fascinating story, but frankly, you know, it's when conspiracy starts to be uncovered, it is a flood because this government has been engaging in so many evil acts for so long. It's amazing, frankly, that this has been allowed to come out.
Well, of course, I believe it was intentionally allowed to come out, but CBS2 never would have aired this in television and circulated those pictures all across America and the world unless they wanted this information out to inflame the Muslims throughout the world. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's absolutely true, Dr. Stan. There's no way that CBS is a shill for the government. They've been involved in collusion with the government for decades now. There's no way that they would have allowed this to go forth. I mean, they covered it up for months, of course, and why they would suddenly let it out, it has to be because it was approved finally as part of the plan, as you and I both know. Globalists want to antagonize the world to create the atmosphere for future retaliation, which I think with an appropriate trigger event, we'll end up in a World War III, and we're going to be the victim.
I really believe that, and out of that chaos and crisis and horror of this coming war will come a cry from the American people, we'll give up anything, just give us peace and security again. We maybe get peace, but we certainly won't get security.
I think that is the game plan. You want to create a big enough disaster within Americans that they'll cry for someone to save them, and that's, you know, it's the game plan of the New World Order everywhere. You create these, whether it's a terrorist event or it's regional wars or it's invasions or coup d'etats, and you have the people crying for someone to deliver them. It's happened to Haiti and East Timor, and of course the United Nations is all too willing to come in and provide a temporary government, which ends up not being so temporary. And of course the United States is claiming that it's going in unilaterally, but eventually it is looking to, after it gets done, you know, antagonizing the world, turning this over to the United Nations.
And when President Bush was asked at the last press conference who he was going to turn the Iraqi government over to on June the 30th, his remark was, "I'm waiting for Mr. Brahimi to tell me." Brahimi is a UN flunky, you know. He's a long-term UN employee. He's
exactly
part of this
U.S. is a U.S. flunky. He's been called forward to do the U.S. bidding. For example, in Haiti, he was the one who went in and negotiated the reestablishment of Jean-Bertrand Aristide at the Clinton behest. He was the one who negotiated the so-called end of the Lebanon Civil War, where he gave Lebanon back to Syria. I mean, this was all according to the U.S. plan, and of course now he's involved in Iraq.
Right, of course, he's a former minister, I believe, of Algeria. So we're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief as we begin looking at the unfolding events as things begin moving increasingly rapidly towards what I fear will soon be World War III. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen in the World Affairs Brief. And we were just briefly talking about what's happened this last week or so with the exposure of the torture and the mistreatment of Iraqi prisoners. And, of course, the response from throughout the world. And then the president saying, oh, yes, well, of course, it's all Donald Rumsfeld's fault. He just didn't tell me anything about this, but we're not going to get rid of Donald Rumsfeld just because he's inflamed the entire Muslim world against us and allowed this sort of thing to happen. But heads are going to have to roll, but it's certainly not going to be any of the people who are my key advisors, in essence, is what he's saying. Joel, why don't you pick up the story at that time as we discuss how the whole Islamic world is being inflamed intentionally against the United States.
Well, let's pick up the story with the Donald Rumsfeld Senate testimony. Is very crafted, carefully crafted piece of combination of apology, and but he quickly stripped away that view when he started talking about all the other revelations that are potential to come forth. And you know, my sources tell me they're just Seymour Hersh of major investigative journalist says there's tons of very excruciating videos of abuse of young women and young girls and young boys, especially in the prison. We haven't even begun to see this, and Rumsfeld's seen all that too. So one of the things that he points out, which one of my subscribers who was listening to the testimony pointed out, is that Rumsfeld is kind of crying crocodile tears over this. He's lamenting the fact that there's all this potentially other damaging information out there, and it was almost as if he were wincing at the fact that the private news media had the stuff at the, and they could threaten him with further revelations. This man obviously should be fired from his job. The Pentagon knew about this. They had investigative reports drawn up by Taguba and another general, even by Major General Miller, who was transferred from the Guantanamo Bay lockup facility over to Iraq. You know, that's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house. But this guy, Miller, is really slick. He's able to put forth the feelings like, we apologize, this certainly won't happen again. And yet, he's one who had the audacity to, defy all of the Geneva Convention rules relative to Guantanamo Bay. He participated in...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll pull our other stations right back online with it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, and he's just talking about how we took the commandant of the prison camp at Guantanamo, where we were mistreating the prisoners there. And if you ever saw the pictures of the Muslims there in their orange jumpsuits in chains, now here they're inside the prison. What can you do? Why do you have to have them chained, kneeling down with black hoods over their heads? Why would you do something like that? Why would you take those pictures and spread them throughout the entire world unless you were trying to inflame the Muslims of the world? I thought that a year and a half ago when I saw those pictures. I said, they're trying to inflame the Muslims of the world against America and against us as a Christian nation. Boy, they're sure giving Christianity a bad name. Well, you pick up the story there, because they've taken the commandant from that prison camp and brought him over to Iraq to do the same thing to the prisoners there.
That's right. He's in charge of all the prison camps there, especially Abu Ghraib, which is where the main problems, at least. I mean, my brief this week talks about all of the other prisons at which they say there's a problem. But interestingly, this guy is really slick, and that's why he brought him over there. He organized a media tour at Abu Ghraib prison, and when the Iraqi prisoners started storming the fence, pleading to talk with journalists, army officials quickly hustled the media back onto the tour bus and refused them to let them talk to the prisoners. Photographs were also prohibited. Army officials used the lame excuse that photographing prisoners would violate the rights under the Geneva Convention. As if stripping them naked and subjecting them to all of this humiliation wasn't a violation of the Geneva Convention. We're going to make a token effort to obey it so that you can't talk to them or lest you violate their rights. I mean, this takes unmitigated gall to hide behind the assurances of compliance with the Geneva Convention when you're as guilty of the gross violations that the U.S. has admitted to.
Well, they must think the American people are pretty stupid. And they must think that the Muslim people throughout the world are pretty stupid.
Well, the Muslim people clearly are not stupid, but the American people, frankly, I'm going to say, are very stupid. And that's why the U.S. administration is working so very hard to, on the one hand, release these things to increase antagonism against the U.S., to prepare the world for retribution or retaliation against the U.S., but in the same sense, they are putting out the kind of assurances and misinformation so that hopeful Americans who want to continue to believing that our government is righteous and that these are simply rogue agents can continue to do so. But, you know, it's even more galling that Miller, for him to do the speaking, having been in direct violation of the Geneva Convention as he presided over the Gitmo camps, that's what they call
Guantanamo
Bay. But, you know, Miller was even written up in Major General Antonio Taguba's recommendations. He's the one who went through and has been investigating these camp violations for many years. One of the reporters claimed that, you know, the report never got to Pentagon higher-ups. Well, if that were true, how come it got slapped with a secret classification, do not distribute to foreign sources, notation on it? It obviously had to be read by Pentagon higher-ups. But he quotes Miller as recommended using operational procedures, and I'm quoting, and interrogation authorities from Gitmo as baselines for its observations and recommendations in Iraq. That's code word for saying, I need to come over there and implement the same things that we did over there in Iraq, and that means we'll make sure that this thing gets either hidden or covered up or selectively released. But what was really interesting is Fox News had Seymour Hersh on, who's really a veteran, hardline investigative reporter, and O'Reilly really met his match there. He kept trying to defend the Bush administration, and he was ever apologizing for Bush, trying to make the case that the Pentagon quickly fixed the problem by bringing in Miller to head up the Iraqi prisons. And so he says, okay, Cy, but Sanchez, the commander, put him in charge fairly quickly. They mobilized fairly quickly, meaning to remedy the problem. Hersh says, no, look, I don't want to ruin your evening. But the fact of the matter was that this was the third investigation, not the first. There had been two other investigations. One of them was done by a major general who was involved in Guantanamo, General Miller, and it's still classified. But I can tell you that he was recommending doing exactly the same thing that happened in his prison, basically. He wanted to cut the lines. He wanted to put the military intelligence in control of the prison. That's what we now have in Iraq, and that is not change.
And, of course, really wasn't this an effort to destroy the morale of these people, to humiliate them, to break their will, so they could do whatever they wanted to them?
Well, it really has a deeper and darker thing to it. I think that not only is there a larger scenario of antagonism of the Muslim world, but there's a specific scenario of antagonizing the Muslim world. Remember, I'm the only one, my World Affairs Brief, the only one who has released the story that stripping all prisoners naked has been the standard operating procedure since the beginning of the war, not just in prison. That has never been out except in the World Affairs Brief. And that's because I have military people in Kuwait and in Iraq who have sent me pictures from their own units every time they capture prisoners. They're stripped naked, they're shackled with their hands behind the back, and they're paraded in front of public. Now, you don't do that. Maybe one rogue person, might conceivably do that, but it doesn't happen in all the units who capture prisoners unless there's a bona fide policy that comes down from at least General Sanchez or higher, and I think it has to come from the Pentagon. So that's a story that isn't told. But like Cy Hersh concluded with, he says, I can tell you from phone calls I've had in the last 24 hours, even more, there are other photos out there. There are more photos even inside that unit. There are videotapes of stuff you wouldn't want to mention on national TV. There are a lot of problems, especially in the women's section. There were boys in there. There were things done to young boys that were videotaped. It's much worse.
Now, why did they allow the videotaping of this? Do you think they intentionally did this so these tapes would be available?
Well, and I've compared what's happened here to U.S. prisons. There is a corrupt system of guards in U.S. prisons that feed on that corruption. And the same thing began to happen. I mean, frankly, Dr. Stan, you take a foul-mouthed military mentality that you get with, and it's bred among the troops. Every other word is the F word. It's just sickening. The kind of language that is expected of everyone to follow. And sure, there are a few Christians, a few who don't participate in that, but almost all military people in get involved in this garbage mouth stuff. They get involved in immorality. They get involved. Pornography is rampant. Now, it doesn't take much to take troops with that kind of chronic bad habits of conscience, of violations of conscience, to start having what they had in Abu Ghraib prison, and that was they had competitions to see who could put up the daily photograph, and it was posted on a bulletin board with the most bizarre, evil torture and abuse of prisoners. They'd have a contest. Now, that's how these, and I think all of that was engineered by these private contractors who are professional thugs and unprincipled people who get hired into these two major corporations, the CACI International and Titan Corporation, who are now supposedly having their own investigation. I'm sure they're going to blow the whistle on themselves and admit guilt. These are fraudulent. But going back to Rumsfeld, given what I've just said about the devastating nature of how much many other photographs and videotapes are available, and what people like Seymour Hersh, who's no friend of America, he's going to reveal that stuff, have seen, let's look at what Rumsfeld said. Now, first of all, he said, I give a sincere apology to the Iraqi people. And then he had the audacity to talk about reparations, that we're going to give compensation to these victims. Now, this is a bold-faced lie, and I'll tell you why it's a lie. Because there is no way that the U.S. is going to allow a systematic interviewing of all of the prisoners, of all the prison systems in Iraq, to find out what and to what degree they've been abused. The proof of that is that these reporters were hustled right out of there as soon as the Iraqi prisoners, some of which who had megaphones, tried to tell right then the reporters, and boy, those army officials pushed them right on the bus. They weren't going to let them interview. They have not let anyone interview any of these prisoners. Those that have been let out, of course, are telling a story, and virtually every one of them have stories of abuse. We're talking about raping of young women that are in there that are just passing through because they got roped in with their family in a car checkpoint. I mean, this is just horrible stuff that's going on, but there's no way that the U.S. is showing any signs of allowing any neutral person to go in there and interview the prisoners. So this is a bold-faced lie that we're going to give compensation. Oh, yes, they might give some compensation to the ones that were in the pictures that were shown. Maybe the six or seven, et cetera, if they can ever identify them. But this is just ludicrous to claim that we're going to be open enough to compensate these
people. And is there somehow why you can justify torture by paying the people off? I wonder if the American people really are that gullible. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the American people who supported this war, and we pleaded with you, this never should have been in this war in the first place. This war is not being fought for any of the reasons we're being told. War brings out the absolute worst in people.
Well, there are a few that are toughened up and hardened and made better, as happened in World War II, but most people, you're right, go through a searing of their conscience, a dumbing down, an insensitivity to blood and evil, and they become part of it. It's very easy to become part of it, especially when you have the seeds of corruption already officially fomented within our troops. As a former Marine officer, we had all of this wonderful, code of ethics Marine Corps stands for, and then to go into a Marine Corps unit and see that kind of corruption and foul-mouthed, immoral behavior was just very shocking for me.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen, and the problem is far more than just the tragedy of what's happened. Think of the reaction throughout the world, and if you think the Muslim world is going to accept an apology from a president who says, oh, you can trust me, there are weapons of mass destruction there, you can trust me, we went in to bring freedom to these people, you can trust me, we had no idea at all what was going on over there, it's all Donald Rumsfeld's fault. I don't think the people of the world are going to believe that. I hope you don't. We'll be right back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
All right, and this is Dr. Stan. I just want to remind you that we carry Miracle 2 soap products here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen, and America's in real trouble today, because when America becomes an imperialist nation, we're going to solve the world's problems. And if you heard the president's last press conference, he kept saying, what we're doing is for the world. What we're doing is for the world. Well, we didn't elect him to be president of the world. We elected him to protect America. And this preemptive war, an attack on a nation because they might somehow in the future attack us, well, it's a pretty flimsy excuse, especially when you understand that this was all planned long before George Bush ever became the president. Pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, going back to the Iraqi prison scandal and these private contractors, this is what I'd like to concentrate on for a few minutes. One of the primary contractors is CACI International. which claims to play an assistance role to American intelligence on the war on terrorism.
Aren't these mostly CIA-front organizations?
That's right. I believe so. You know, there's no way to prove that, but whistleblowers say that almost all of these organizations were started with CIA, with predictable people who essentially will do their bidding. But in any case, you know, one of these so-called come out of the woodwork and said his name is Torrin Nelson, who served in Abu Ghraib as a private contractor last year. He's claiming that there's a breakdown, a failure of command. This is one of the major pieces of misinformation that's being thrown out there, that this is a failure of command. He alleged that those companies were so anxious to meet the demand for interrogators that they sent cooks and truck drivers to work as interrogators. I think this is pure disinformation. There's no way the cooks and truck drivers could be interrogated. You got to speak
Arabic, right?
You see?
Maybe it was Arabic-speaking truck drivers and cooks.
And you simply cannot, you know, take people of that level of education and give them a crash course in Arabic. Be an interrogator. It just doesn't happen. You know, General Karpinski, Janice Karpinski, the woman general who I think they wanted to find some reason to get rid of, and so they made her the scapegoat, she stated that in cells blocks 1A and 1B where the reported abuses took place were under control of military intelligence, that she no longer had control of interrogations. So why doesn't she tell us, this is the question no one ever asked, she said, why doesn't she tell us who gave her orders to relinquish military control and give it over to these contract interrogators? Because, you see, all you got to do is provide the public with a chain of command of who gave the orders, and then Congress is going to say, well, who gave you orders, General so-and-so? Well, Donald Rumsfeld did. All right, now we know who to go to, you see. But nobody's talking about the chain of command here, and that's one of the biggest cover-ups, you know, that's occurring here. The tough question is, who gave the military prison guard permissions even to take orders from civilian contractors? You see, military people don't normally do that. You're a civilian, you walk in and say, okay, I want you to start doing this, and they say, go talk to my captain. Somebody had to tell them that they are authorized to take orders from these contract prison interrogators, and so far, nobody's asking that question.
Well, that's
no one's telling.
Right, and it's sort of like the 9/11 Commission. You never ask the right questions, you never get the right answer.
Well, you know, these mini Halliburtons and their employees are not subject to military discipline, as Ian Williams of Asian Times pointed out.
And they're not subject to the international rules of battle either. The CIA, you know, in Vietnam, killed about 40 to 60,000 civilians just because they opposed what we were doing. That was Operation Phoenix. The American people was never told. They violated every international law, and nobody was ever held responsible.
That's right. Now, this is a convenient loophole, however, that was precisely why they selected to give so much security work in Iraq to these contractors, to ensure the dark side agents have full immunity, so that nobody could get prosecuted. You see, if military, you know, military people are liable for this, but even that, the punishments that they're delving out this are really just slap on the hands. You know, you're talking about military reprimands and losing command. Well, you know, that can't, may or may not be severe, depending on how much they want to look the other way. A reprimand is simply a piece of paper in your official record that tells that you did something wrong. It may or may not stop you from having advancement, depending on whether or not someone gives the word. When you are relieved of command, that's serious for an officer's increased advancement, but not if he's working for the New World Order. They can overcome that. Now, I don't suppose Karpinski's going to survive this.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's so important that people understand that we've heard that a couple of these people who were responsible for what happened, why they got letters of reprimand that were put in their file. Can you imagine that? What do you think would happen with any other army when these things came out? You know, a slap on the wrist, a letter of reprimand. I mean, these things should be prison sentences, but maybe they don't want court-martials. Maybe the truth might come out. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to tell you about a couple of the things we carry. One of them is called Phonopoly, and it's a program designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically, and they've deliberately dumbed down our children in school. You couldn't do as bad a job with the amount of money that they have unintentionally. In the year 1800, we had a 95% literacy rating. Today, according to the Department of Health and Human Services, we have about 100 million either partially or completely illiterate people in the United States. You don't do something this bad intentionally. Don't sacrifice your child on the expediency of government schools. Get Phonopoly. Most of these programs to teach children how to read and spell and pronounce words are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. They work, and they work well. We recommend them to you. That's Phonopoly. And again, the number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we also want to mention Institute on the Constitution. The Institute on the Constitution is a vehicle for teaching you or your family about America's history. Of course, we hope that you'll want to get a kit and you want to actually set one up in your neighborhood or in your church. And it gives you the whole background of America's Christian history. It makes you proud to be an American. It makes you realize that at one time, America was the envy of the world because everyone knew we were a Christian nation. No longer, of course, because there's been an organized effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this country by the wicked people who are using America to bring not only this country, but the entire world into the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, you can learn about the Institute of the Constitution by calling 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to www.iotconline.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, I understand you have a website. Before we go on, let's get out your address, how people can get your World Affairs Brief, and how they can get access to your website and all the fascinating information you have.
I do have a new website. The old website is still up and has a lot of information, joelskousen.com. But the new website is easier to remember. It's worldaffairsbrief.com. And if you go there, you'll find a wonderful source of a lot of information. The biggest new feature is that we have a daily listing of all of the key posts that are being put on by my researchers every day. In fact, both researchers are avid listeners of Stan Montes.
They are.
That's right. And so they're very much aware of the great work that you do. But people should go to my website daily to look at the various news issues that I'll be analyzing during the week. Subscribers can subscribe online from that website. They can look at the everyone can look at the archives from 2003 on back and see a mini history of the world. And there's a major section on government cover-ups and all of the material that I've sorted out and read and wrote about relative to everything from the JFK assassination to all of the factors of 9/11 and elsewhere. So it's a good site to go to, and hope everyone will check it daily.
All right. That's worldaffairsbrief.com. All right, fine. Now, I sort of interrupted you. You were developing these ideas about, of course, the independent contractors, the supposed people that were hiring at $1,000 a day, or were hiring companies to pick them over there, and every indication is that this is a CIA front organization with men who are not answerable to anybody other than, well, their employer, and we're not quite sure who their employer is, but pick up the story there. They seem to be deeply involved in the torture of the prisoners. So what's the story there?
Well, you know, these are dark side operators. These are dark side companies. What I mean by dark side, they're illegal and unethical. Let me put it this way. If you or I would try to start up a security company where we had access to automatic weapons, high-tech equipment directly from the military, could walk into a military arsenal and check out weapons seamlessly without being members of the military, we'd be thrown in jail. But every one of these corporations fits that mold. I've got contacts who are with DynCorp in Kuwait, and of course they don't dare, you know, tell anyone they're emailing me, but believe me, these people are just an extension of the military. And to prove this, that there is this seamless relationship, let's look at CACI International. None other than Deputy U.S. Secretary of State Richard Armitage, who's a long history of involvement with dark side CIA drug smuggling operations, is one of the board of directors of CACI. So it's no surprise, you know, that this organization has an inside track to getting these, you know, there's no bidding for these things. These are insider dealing corporations. MPRI is another big one who was involved in the Macedonia War. They were, in fact, while the U.S. was pretending to defend the Macedonian army against the MLA, MPRI was being paid for by U.S. taxpayers to use Predator aircraft with their surveillance cameras to check on the progress of the Macedonians so that the MLA could be relayed that information and avoid being captured. I mean, that's the kind of double dealing our government is dealing with. It makes these prison scandals, frankly, look like, you know, pikers in comparison.
Now, was the NLA the radical Muslim group or what?
Yes, they were the radical offshoot of the KLA out of Kosovo. They were other Albanian Marxists that were trying to overthrow the Macedonian government. The U.S. is claiming to support the Macedonians, and yet we were hiring MPRI to go in there and give intelligence and direct, and actually had advisors helping them evade capture.
Well, now, of course, are they Marxists or are they tied to Al-Qaeda? Or are they both?
Well, no, it's really murky when you get down in the dark side operations. My personal opinion is Al-Qaeda is still a U.S. CIA-controlled terrorist operation at the very top, not the lower people down below that are betrayed. They're legitimate anti-American U.S. haters. But the mere fact that if they have millions of cells around the world and they aren't attacking, especially in the United States, that indicates that this is controlled terrorism, not true independent terrorism. But clearly there is a Marxist world backed by the Soviets and the Chinese. What makes it murky in terms of analysis is that the U.S. is covering for those people. It's aiding and abetting them, not because our own side is communist, but because our side is globalist, and they create havoc in the world. They create conflicts by allowing the Russians and the Chinese to work their magic and their revolutionary magic around the world so that the U.S. globalists can come in and implant a Kosovo-style solution on that.
In other words, the best enemies money can buy.
Yeah. Now let me give you another example of this seamless relationship between these contractors and the military. There's a recent case of Halliburton employee Thomas Hamill, who made the news here as he escaped from the Iraqis, and he was immediately flown out at U.S. military expense on military hospital aircraft to a military hospital in Germany for treatment. Now, all U.S. military expense, this is something the U.S. military legally cannot do. Having been in the military, I know that you've got to show your card that shows that you're an active duty military, or they do not accept you, or you have to make, you know, payments separately. But this is not, I mean, this indicates, frankly, that our military treats these contractors as if they're military. In fact, I think they are. Yeah. I think they've simply sheep-dipped them. They've taken them out of uniform and gone to work for these other companies at incredibly obscene salaries. I mean, these people are making $20,000 a month, some of them even as high as $1,000 a day.
I think people have to realize that most of them are ex-Special Forces, SEALs, Delta Force, and of course they leave the military, that's what they call sheep dip, and then they go to work for these private corporations.
Well, let me cover what I think is really the nature of this multifaceted cover-up. This is the anatomy of a major cover-up. While the president claims to be shocked, outraged, and disgusted and disappointed at these photographs, his staff is meeting round the clock working on damage control. And here's what they've come up with. Number one, have the president appear on a couple of U.S.-friendly television stations to reassure the Muslim world of honorable U.S. intentions. This has backfired already. The Arabs are disgusted with Bush. They're even more disgusted by his attempts to maintain the facade of American moral authority. Number two, you blame Rumsfeld for not informing the president, as you just mentioned. And then after a suitable few hours, you have the president reassure the public that he has total confidence in Rumsfeld. Now, that isn't a non sequitur. Now, this is intended, of course, to shift the blame to the Pentagon, and then to deter those who would naturally call for Rummy's resignation. You know, this is really going to be interesting, Dr. Stan, to see if the Bush administration can get through the two biggest scandals of U.S. history, 9/11 collusion and Torturegate, and not dismiss any top administration officials responsible. If they can do that, that's real damage control.
Well, amazingly enough, you know, George Tenet, who should have known, what was going on in the world, was congratulated for his fine work after 9/11. And then, of course, after supposedly he gave the wrong information to the administration of the weapons of mass destruction, he wasn't fired either time. How could that possibly be true?
That's right.
Unless, of course, he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do.
Well, continuing with this cover-up that they're doing, the third strategy was to plant stories within the news that there was a break in the chain of command at Abu Ghraib prison so as to shift the blame to contract interrogators who can't be prosecuted conveniently by the military. Now, true to form, the next day, the New York Times comes out with just such an article claiming an internal army investigation has found a virtual collapse of the command structure in the prison. Now, what do you mean a virtual collapse in the command structure? How does any army operate under a virtual collapse of the command structure? This is just so much hogwash. A report on the investigation said mid-level military intelligence officers were allowed to skirt the normal chain of command to issue questionable orders to enlisted personnel. Now, who allowed them? Who gave them orders to do so? You see, that's what the article isn't saying. I mean, these reporters are simply whores for the establishment. I'll be very blunt. When you put out that kind of claptrap and you don't ask the appropriate tough questions, then you're just being whores for the establishment. Number four, they decided to slap the hands, give token punishment to the soldiers implicated, and pick one convenient high-ranking woman officer that you want to get rid of anyway, to be the scapegoat. Now, I think, in fact, there was a quid pro quo. Part of the reason for slapping the hands of these soldiers and not really giving them jail time is to kind of say, you don't talk any further about it if we let you off light, because these people obviously could tell who gave the orders. Number five, and this is very important, you prohibit any systematic interviewing by honest information brokers or journalists, if there is such a thing, of Iraqi prisoners in U.S. custody, including Guantanamo Bay, to ensure the public doesn't find out the full extent of U.S. crimes. This also now plays into the fact that now you don't have to give compensation to everyone, because you only do it to the few whose stories did get out of the news. Number six, you have a congressman or senator suggest abolishing or demolishing Abu Ghraib prison as a symbol of U.S. intentions to cleanse itself of the problem. This is just laughable, Dr. Stan. Then number seven, you have a spokesman, Scott McClellan, and the president emphasized that 99% of our troops are wonderful, and that just a few bad apples are responsible. Now, while there is much truth to this, the point is that a much higher percentage of our troops are susceptible to this kind of corruption because there is a personal corrupting factor about being in the military. And not all people succumb to that. But my experience is that virtually most do. Now, not to this extent, but they are in a high degree of corruption morally in terms of immorality, pornography, and garbage language. Number eight, you tell the world that nobody's perfect, that mistakes happen, forget about it, and move on. Well, the world isn't going to forget Americans are all too willing to forgive and forget, but not the world.
But I think the tragedy is, think what this does to the perception of a Christian nation. And I read an interview with one of these people, you know, who had been released, one of the Muslims had been released. He said, I just couldn't believe that America could do this. And I think that what's happened is the image of America has been destroyed. And it's been done intentionally. These stories never would have been gotten out if the administration didn't want them out.
That's right. So let me give a summary of this analysis to say, one, this kind of corrupt behavior has been going on for a long time, especially in U.S. prisons. Anytime you have chronic corruption, it is symptomatic that while illegal, it's officially condoned informally condoned at the highest levels. Number two, you can expect a wave of revelations to keep emerging now that the soldiers know that it's not okay to do what they were encouraged to do, now that they know the orders they received were not legal, and they will be very fearful of doing it again because they know who's going to take the rap. So abuse and the illegal mistreatment will continue, but not now by ordinary troops. The contract mercenaries themselves will have to do their own dirty work from now on out of sight. A few of the most thuggish soldiers, after being reprimanded and put out of the service, I think will be brought back to paid ranks of these mercenaries, who are largely composed of predictable, unprincipled people, you know, who can be trusted not to talk. Number four, the abuse that other prisoners may be even worse than Abu Ghraib. One of the interesting things about publishing what they do is that it satiates the American public, and it's much easier then to dismiss or cover up other photos of saying, well, we've already seen that type of thing. But in fact, the more you see what I've seen this week, the more you realize it's just the tip of the iceberg. Summary number five, all the abuse was done with the full knowledge of the Pentagon. The rogue soldier excuse is just to cover. As I said before at the beginning of this interview, I have pictures proving that soldiers in the field have been routinely forcing all captured prisoners to be stripped naked in the outdoors, subjected to cold and heat without any clothing, humiliating them in front of the public. It's been going on for a long time. The media, embedded reporters, must certainly have seen this. Most of the pictures I've got probably came from embedded reporters that were not otherwise allowed to be sent to the media. So the media is complicit in this cover-up. And number six, what little credibility and moral authority U.S. possessed in the world is now totally gone, and I don't think it's ever coming back.
Well, it's a sad commentary, but of course, when the good people of America will support a corrupt war that they should have known ahead of time there was no justification. If we were going to go after the terrorists, why didn't we get Osama bin Laden? If we were going to go after the terrorists, why didn't we get Mullah Omar? Why didn't we finish on the terrorists? Why did we go after a country that had a lot of oil that we wanted? And the people went along with it because it was easier to believe that somehow this was a moral crusade. It wasn't a moral crusade. It was an immoral crusade leading to World War III. Well, Joel, I think that this is such a powerful story. And of course, this will be posted people will supposed to get your World Affairs brief to get this right away. And then it'll be posted, what, a month or two down the line?
Well, actually, you know, it's in your mailbox as a
right.
Who gets the World Affairs brief.
I'm looking forward to reading it.
Right. It does have a tremendous amount of this material, and I would encourage your listeners who want the full story, because we can't cover anywhere near what I have in the World Affairs brief, to subscribe. Very small, modest fee for a yearly fee for subscribing to the World Affairs brief, and then they can see it right on the internet or get it in their email box as well.
Well, let me just comment. I look forward to getting this. There are two things I read every week as they come, and this is one of the two of them. Excellent material, well documented, and let me comment that I don't get any commission at all for recommending this other than having the pleasure of having Joel on our program on a regular basis. I know many of you out there in the listening audience enjoy hearing him, and I always enjoy it and learn so much from him. So if there's any way that you can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, let me just recommend you do. Well, we're just about out of time. What's your parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I'm not sure that President Bush is going to survive this scandal. If they had a decent Democratic opponent, he probably would not survive. But Kerry has so many skeletons in his closet, he can be destabilized, and I think he will. So incredible as it seems, I think the powers that be will still reelect George Bush.
Well, I think that they picked John Kerry because he was the most ridiculous of all the candidates out there. I think Howard Deem had, was probably more of a centrist. They made him to look like a radical and a nut. They built him up. They discredited him. It's amazing how the media can pick our candidates for us, two members of the Skull and Bones. What a chance. What a choice we have.
That's right. No choice at all, I'm afraid.
Well, God bless you. And thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, our guest has been Joel Skousen of the World Affairs Brief, and of course you go to his website, joelskousen.com, or now worldaffairsbrief.com. Let me suggest that you do. I think you'll learn a great deal from Joel's wisdom. He has researchers out there and getting information from all over the world. He worked, he's in the military and intelligence. He's not affiliated in any way with the intelligence at the present time. An excellent source of the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh, from Bill O'Reilly, from Dan Rather, for Tom Brokaw. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment as we begin to get ready to wrap up this afternoon's program. It's good to be back here after being traveling for 3 days, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this afternoon's Radio Liberty program. Another of our fascinating 4-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention that we do carry the big Berkey water filters, and these are uncertain times. And if you ever have stopped and thought, what would you do if you didn't have access to water? You can get by without food, but you can't get by without access to good drinking water. And, of course, you can use the Berkey water filters to filter water from a pond or a pool, from a river or from a lake. And there's usually something that's not too far away that you could utilize. And so the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. It has ceramic filters packed with activated carbon. It's been used for 150 years. It will purify and take out most of the herbicides and pesticides and bacteria, and you'll get good drinking water, take out most of the chlorine, give you good, great tasting drinking water. This has been a standard until recently. They're $279. They're available in every state but California and Iowa. However, here in California, if you want to get a water filter, there's something called the Berkey Light. And the Berkey Light's only $199. It has made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water levels. That's why we got it. We think it's much of an advantage. And then there are 2 black Berkey filters, which really purify the water. And they do a better job than any other filters on the market today, as far as I'm concerned. And they take out all the bacteria, for all intents and purposes, down to the log of, 10 to the 5th or 6th or 7th power, and, of course, the herbicides and the pesticides. And of course, both of them, if you get them through Radio Liberty, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video we've produced. You can look at them at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. The black Berkey filters and the Berkey Light have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. That's the only possible disadvantage. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we pay for the radio time on the 60 or more stations we're on every single week. Now, a lot of the stasis is just half an hour a week, but at least people are hearing the truth, and many people in the areas where this program is broadcast will design their whole day around that program, and so these faithful followers, faithful listeners, and they're reaching others. And, of course, many of the programs were on a daily basis, and we have a number of stations we're on every single day, and the people in those areas are getting good education, but it's all expensive, and if you believe that there is a problem, if you believe America is worthwhile trying to save, then we hope you'll give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com and listen to our programs there on the Internet directly or through links 5 hours a day. You can listen to our shortwave programs 4 hours a day, and if you are listening on shortwave now, 3 hours from now, you can tune back to the same station, 5.745 megahertz, and listen to our shortwave program. If you don't have a shortwave radio, we actually carry them through Radio Liberty. That's a Sanjin 505, you know, with the dials. It's got a 24-foot aerial there, collapsible aerial. It's an excellent shortwave set, and you can listen to our programs, at least the evening program from 8 to 10. Afternoon programs don't come in well on the West Coast, although they come in very well on the East Coast. But our evening program comes in very well here. We hope many of you will give serious consideration to getting a shortwave set and begin listening in the evening. Please tell others about our programs, because that's how we're really getting the information out. Go to our website at radioliberty.com and pull down our newsletters and copy them and disseminate them to your friends. Get them to begin checking the sources of information. Could these things really be true? Could it be that we're moving into World War III? They're going to draft our sons and daughters and send them off to die fighting senseless wars that have nothing to do with protecting America and everything to do with facilitating and promoting the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, we do hope that many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That you'll get our information, our book on the Brotherhood of Darkness, or our video, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special, which is the book, the video, and the audio tape for $29.95. That you'll get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, that goes into how all the wars of the last century were contrived, and the boys who thought they were fighting for freedom overseas were really used as a distraction as we were losing our freedom here at home. And, of course, the new video put out by our friend Chris Pinto, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, going into the influence of the secret societies on the First and the Second World Wars, and, of course, the plan for the Third World War. The video Diaprax in our churches, the Church Growth Movement, or our four-tape set on the Church Growth Movement. Understand, the great apostasy is upon us at the present time. And I really believe they're changing the music and the message of our churches. Get our four-tape set on A Crisis in Christian Music, or get our four-tape set on A Musical Madness is the title of it, and we have the book, The Crisis in Christian Music, in stock at the present time. Understand the spiritual nature of the battle by reading The Demonic Roots of Globalism. It's a book, an excellent book, by Gary Kaw, or The New World Religions by Gary Kaw, or En Route to Global Occupation by Gary Kaw. We have all of them. Get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's books, The Secret Records Revealed, The Globalist, The Now is the Dawning, and, of course, his book, Cover-Up. They're all available through Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, do you think that God is ever again going to bless this nation? And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.